pray together. Father, we thank you that this world, this earth is not our permanent home, that through your Son, through your Spirit, we are like sojourners, pilgrims. We're passing through in this place, looking to the city, looking to the temple, the tabernacle that you've created with your hands. It wasn't made with the hands of humans, but they were made by your Spirit and your word going forth. Thank you for this wonderful, amazing hope that we have in Christ Jesus of a perfect existence with him forever and ever. We thank you for it. We ask that you'd be in our midst this morning, that you would inhabit our praises, that you would help us, God, to freely in your Spirit worship you and praise you, give you thanks, and continually do so even when we leave here this morning. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory, and we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us worship.
Shout out your praise. 1, 2, 3, hey! Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stare down the giant, worship when the lion's dead. Sometimes you gotta shout up on the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that he's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise, in the highest praise. Give him praise, give him praise, in the highest he is worthy. Yes, he is worthy. Praise in the prison, cry out to heaven, shout to the voice where you are. Sometimes you gotta stand on your shackles, pray in the battle, worship with your hands held high. I praise you anywhere. Praise, give them praise, give them praise in the highest. Praise, give them praise, give them praise in the highest. Give him praise when the highest he is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Oh, you're worthy of praise. Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why, I'll praise you anywhere. Every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath, I'll praise you anywhere. Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why, I'll praise you anywhere. Every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. Give him praise in the highest praise. Give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy. Oh, he is worthy. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Thank you.
is your name. Worthy is your name. Thank you, Jesus. We cry, worthy. Worthy is your name. We cry, worthy is your name, Lord Jesus. You are the author of life. You said it yourself that you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's what you said, Lord Jesus. So we cry, worthy are you this morning, because you give us life. And you give us life more abundantly. You show us the way when we can't see it ourselves, when we try to go our own way. And you show us the truth that sets us free. And who you set free, truly, indeed, you set them free. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus this morning that you would continue to show us the truth, the way, the life that's found in your Son and in your Son alone. I ask, God, that you would bless us with understanding, with revelation of your truth as we diligently seek you. You made a promise to us, God, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. You made a promise to us, God, that when we draw close to you, you draw close to us. So we ask, Lord Jesus, we ask, Father, that you would give us a longing, a desire, a hunger, and a thirst to seek you day in and day out, that we would consistently, fervently, diligently seek you, God, knowing that you are a rewarder, knowing that you will give us revelation, that you will give us insight, that you will supernaturally speak to us by your Holy Spirit, whom you sent. You said he would guide us into all truth. Not that he would drive us like a slave, but that he would guide us into all truth. We yield to your Holy Spirit this morning. Help us to yield every day. Help us not to quench your Spirit. Help us to live a life that pleases you and your Spirit, that accepts and invites your Spirit into every area of our life, God, because truly you are worthy. And it's no longer I who live, but you that live within me. It's no longer my life that I live, but it's the life that you have given me, that you have given us. Help us to walk every day in that lens, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated, everyone. I'm losing my voice from singing this morning. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Welcome to Seaport, whether you're here in person or you're joining us online. Welcome. We say welcome around here by giving a round of applause. So can we do that, church? Welcome. It's a blessing for us, and we pray it'll be truly a blessing for you joining us this morning. But we don't want to just welcome you. We also want to get connected with you so you can understand and experience what it's really like to be in the kingdom of God. One of those ways you can get connected is by texting welcome to the number up on the screen behind me. You'll get a link back. You fill that out pretty quick and you can get connected. You can also get connected through all of our different social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, even, etc. Get connected that way. I think the best way to get connected on the back of the seats in front of you, you should be able to see a QR code. If you point your camera at that, a little link will pop up. You click that, and you can get connected through the Church Center app. Everything that the church does, all the events, just everything we have planned and opportunities are right there in the app. So go ahead and download that. And then lastly, Pastor Brad, our leader and founder, is not here, but Chris is going to try. He's going to try to go to by the cafe after service. So if you want to talk to him or maybe some of the other people you've seen come up here and speak or others that are members or consistent people here, go in that area. You'll be able to connect with some of us. But without further ado, I'm going to invite Andy up. He's a deacon here, and he's going to share with us about Aftershock.
Thank you, Rolando. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Fantastic. So, so we do Aftershock. What is Aftershock? We go out, we meet here in the fireplace room every second and fourth Saturday. Can you say second and fourth Saturday? All right. So second, fourth Saturday, we're going to continue. It was in 8 weeks, but we're going to keep it rolling. We've had so much fruit, and we're so excited about what God's doing in through Aftershock when we go out. But also, even most importantly, I'm going to share a story in a second of what he's doing to change us to live a lifestyle of caring about people and reaching out to people. So we meet, and then we go out into the streets, not knowing who we're going to meet. But God always has a lot of great people that we meet. Yesterday we went out, we had a group, and a new person joined us to go out that hasn't gone out with us before. And we went down to the piers in New London, and we met a lot of great folks. We had some really great connections. My son Daniel was out there. He shared, he was on another team with Keith. They shared how they got to pray with a lot of different people. They met a lot of Christians. So a lot of times God will have us meet the Christians out there to encourage them. They get so fired up to see other Christians out there sharing their faith. And even Daniel got to meet someone that was looking for a church and, you know, investigating church. So he invited him here. He's in the military. So I hope he's here today. But I want to share a different story. As we came back from going out, me and Daniel went out to lunch together, and then we come home, and we're driving up my driveway, and I see my oldest son, Elijah, out there, and he's walking. He's like, what were you guys doing? We said, we went out to Aftershock, and we met some folks. I was sharing with him how I shared with a couple people that were in the Jehovah's Witness faith, and we were just talking with them, and he starts to share a story, and I thought this story was cool, because it shows. He goes out with us sometimes. But he said he was at work yesterday at TJ Maxx. He works over at TJ Maxx, so if you see him in there, say hi to him. But he was over there, and a gentleman in the parking lot came up to him and started talking to him about something, about Latter-day Saints. They were Mormons. He had the black pants and the white shirt and the black tie. And I see him in the London, and I talk to them too. But Elijah began to share with me how he started asking this gentleman questions, and he started to share what he believed out of the scripture. And I thought that was pretty cool. He wasn't going out in Aftershock. He was on break at TJ Maxx, and he's sharing his faith in the parking lot. Amen? As we go out, and I just want to build a reputation in every kingdom hall to watch out for us as we're out there. I want to build a reputation that we just love everybody, and we're affecting our communities. And God is bringing these people. So get fired up. Come out with us. If you're afraid, that's okay. Do something afraid. Come out, and you can stand with me and just stand behind me and close your eyes. You just close your eyes. Say you're praying. You know, just do that, okay? So, and please pray. So join us second and fourth Saturday. At that, we're going to go into our offering. How many people want to be free in all areas of your life? You know, Jesus calls us to be free. If you don't know this yet, maybe you're bound by something. Maybe something is troubling you. Maybe you feel oppressed. If you stay on the road with Jesus, I guarantee you, you will find freedom. And one of the things that if you watch Jesus' life, he was always bringing spiritual, physical, financial, life freedom. But he deals with the issues that bring the problems into our lives. He doesn't just fix it. He also corrects us and changes our lives and brings us out of it, right? And one of those areas is financial freedom. I can testify to how God, you know, I grew up pretty poor. God always provided for my family, so don't get me wrong on that. But if you looked at financial, I grew up with a woman that didn't have a lot of money. I grew up with my grandmother, and I didn't grow up in great neighborhoods. But I'm telling you right now, God has delivered me from poverty. And it's only him. It wasn't me. No, I stumbled in my life. But the reality is he wants to bring you out of it. And it starts here. And, you know, one of the points we've been sharing on, I don't know if we have a slide on it, but we've been sharing on how to get debt free. Pastor Brian wants to see, and I want to see us all get debt free. When you get free from debt, one, your marriage can be healthier if you're married. Your life can be healthier, emotional. I've been up all night worrying about finances years ago. You know, like, what? How are we going to make this happen? How are we going to do it? And I saw God deliver me, do miracles, provide in situations I couldn't see. But there was problems in the way that I managed my finances. And one of the tips I want to share with you today is you can seek professional help. Many people have said Andy Jones needs professional help. You know, so I do. One program that God used to help me was in this church. They brought it here. It was Dave Ramsey. They did Financial Peace University. That program single-handedly gave me hope because I didn't know how to stop managing my finances poorly. But in that program, I took it. I took somebody else's counsel, and I began to see how to get out of it. I couldn't see how to get out of it, and it brought me hope. And now 20 years later, I am debt-free. I am financially free, and I'm thankful for that. So let's pray. If you were like me today, you're troubled by finance, you don't see a road, you can reach out to Pastor Brad, people around here. God has a road of freedom so you're not oppressed. He wants you to be able to give like nobody else in the world. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to be able to give to people around you and love people. So let's pray. God, I thank you that is part of your plan, that we would be able to be generous. Even when we only have a little, we could still have a mindset that you provide and be generous and be free from oppression and poverty mindsets. God, we can be free from poverty. And God, I pray right now, Jesus, that you would help us, that if we need to look outside of ourselves and get wise counsel, we will be humble to do it. We would be humble to go get a book, to talk to leadership, to try and say, I want to be financially free. I will get wise counsel. Let us be that wise person, Lord. Let us not be locked into our mindsets that may be giving us trouble. I thank you for this because it's part of your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So Chris is coming up now. He's going to share the word with us. Thank you, Chris.
Andy, well, before we share the word, we got a few opportunities that are coming up first. So, hey, you guys will get to see Andy back at the pulpit this Wednesday because he's going to be bringing us the word as he talks about defying conventional wisdom. So that's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see Andy up here again. And then, of course, we have weekly prayer around here, right? So make sure there are so many opportunities to join with us in prayer. So make sure you're taking one of those opportunities. And you know what? If you don't know how to pray, that's okay, because on Tuesdays we have a Teach Us to Pray series. So make sure you get involved in one of those prayer meetings, because we are a praying church. And you know what? It's August, but it is Christmas in August. And yes, we are about to have another Christmas musical. I will not be the mayor this year. We are doing some other, different one. This Wrappings All the Way. And so there's going to be a very important special interest meeting after service today. An interest meeting. So make sure you grab your kids from whatever program they're in and come back over here. Because this isn't just for the kids, right? This is for the kids and for the adults. So make sure you guys are here. And then next week, we're going to have an audition for that said musical. So it's going to be awesome. We need all kinds of help and support. There's music, there's props. If you don't want to actually be on stage, there's all kinds of things that happen backstage to make the production run. So make sure you guys join us for that. Coming up, we also have a Ranger Rodeo that's off-site. And then if you're not really sure what God designed you to be, you're not really sure how God wants to use you in the kingdom, make sure you join us for Engage so we can talk about your spiritual gifts and where God wants to use you. And then if you haven't been water baptized, make sure you guys are coming public with your faith. If you already made that decision privately in your heart, what are you waiting for? It's time for you to come public with your faith. And we are having another water baptism at Bluff Point on September 10th. And then there's been all kinds of awesome ladies' Bible studies, and I just want to point you guys up here to the screen because we have a little video of what the next one is going to look like.
Whether we are women in the 21st century, or Women on the Pages of the Bible thousands of years ago, we all need each other. We all hurt from the same place, and we all want the same thing. What paths are we continuing to take simply because someone has told us this is just the way it is? All we have to do is ask ourselves, where are we hiding? Are we hiding behind a relationship, status, popularity, our smile?
I think I chose to become an actor really early in my life because I liked wearing the shoes of others, because it helps me understand them at a deeper level when I can appreciate right where they're walking.
Have you ever felt unnoticed or just overlooked? Spoiler alert, Rahab was not a church girl. You don't have to be the girl that grew up in Sunday school and on the front row and at every vacation Bible school for God to use you greatly.
God sees Hagar the same way that he sees you. Not after she says the right thing, not after she says a certain prayer, wears the right clothes, or reaches a certain weight. God sees Hagar just because he wants to.
Bitter is the name Naomi gave herself. Blessed is the name that God gave her.
The real beauty of the gospel is that God asked Jesus to slip his divine feet into our human shoes and walk a mile so hard and so painful that we wouldn't doubt for one second that he knows right where we're walking.
Awesome. Well, that Bible study is going to be starting, I think, the week after next. It's on Mondays and Thursdays. There's opportunities to be online and to do it here. And all of the resources for this are available to get at the information desk. So make sure you guys are registering for those stuff, because like everything else, everything's in the app. So make sure you guys are registering there for that. And so at this time, we're going to release all of our middle schoolers, those in the middle school age. You guys are going to go out to the fellowship hall, which is just out of the sanctuary to the right. So if you're visiting with us today, you guys can go ahead and follow Rolando out over there, and he is going to go into the fellowship hall right there. So, all right. You guys ready for the message this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good morning. Today and going forward, you guys are going to be warriors. So why don't you say that with me? I am a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
No, I'm not feeling that. No, I am a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
That's what I mean. Now, I get it. You may not have stood a watch on top of a building in Afghanistan, or maybe you've never been a lookout in a submarine, but I want you to imagine a thriving city nestled within towering walls, a haven of life and activity. These walls have stood as steadfast pillars, offering protection and security. These walls have stood, but yet on one fateful night, the guard that was posted on the walls, that sailor that was atop that submarine, or even you, laid down your weapon and surrendered to slumber because you were just so tired. I mean, what do you think would happen? Chaos. Chaos could swiftly come in as the enemy starts to infiltrate under the cover of darkness. Danger would flood in, and that city's very existence would hang in the balance. And just as the city relies on these vigilant guards for its safety, our spiritual journey relies on our vigilance. You see, today we're going to continue in our series, The Commands of Jesus, commissioned, peeling back the rich layers of Scripture. So if you could pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, today we're going to be in Matthew 26:41. Keep watch and pray so that you do not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The journey ahead requires some focus and endurance, that of like the watchman on guard duty, just pacing those city walls through the darkest hours. And I pray that today God will shake off any of that spiritual drowsiness as we unravel this significance of setting a guard over our hearts through consistent prayer, instilling this posture of vigilance. Because just as a thriving city relies on those diligent guards, the vitality of our very faith depends on setting a watchful watchman through prayer. You know, and to fully understand Jesus' words, we need to go back to a time other than ours, when Jesus was doing his earthly ministry and opposition to his message was reaching this boiling point. The religious leaders of that time, they were determined to silence him. And Jesus knew, he knew that the hour of sacrifice was drawing near. Because just after celebrating that Passover meal with his disciples, he went with some of them to the Garden of Gethsemane late that night to pray. It provided this peaceful sanctuary amidst all of the swirling tensions that were around. And the verses just before our verse today paint this vivid picture of Jesus' agony as he grappled with just the weight of what lay ahead. He took his inner circle, his most trusted guys, that of Peter, James, and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. In fact, we see that he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and watch and keep watch with me." If you go a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. But not as I will, as you will." Here, Jesus facing just this unfathomable anguish as the sinless Son of God, he would soon bear the sins of the world on the cross. His pure soul recoiled at this drinking of the cup of divine wrath, which would necessitate this excruciating separation from the Father. An ominous tide of suffering was rising and threatening to engulf him. And in this hour of tribulation, Jesus turned to his guys, his closest disciples, for support. But as he emerged from that intense prayer, what did he find? Standing guard, ready to protect him, his guys? No. He found them fast asleep. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like for him? You've walked with these guys for 3 years. For 3 years. Could you men not keep watch for me for even 1 hour? He asked. Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, he knew the disciples sincerely desired to follow him. But he discerned their human frailty in the face of such a late hour and with such heavy spiritual attack. I mean, have you ever been that tired? Have you ever been so tired that you needed toothpicks to hold your eyelids open, kind of like this guy? Or like the drowsy night watchmen, their eyelids were heavy as dangers surrounded them. Jesus understood that the willing spirit alone could not overcome the weak flesh. His call is to vigilant prayer, declared that only through divine aid can we as frail humans stand guard over our own hearts. We cannot do it alone. We need his joint unity with us. And just because this episode happened around 2,000 years ago, the truth of it reveals. It remains powerful to us today. It's so powerful and familiar today. I'm sure that as you kind of scan through your mental Rolodexes, you can find examples of where you've struggled with these cycles of spiritual vigor, where you were just on fire for God, and then seasons of sleepiness. You know, Ephesians 6:18 says, being alert and always keeping on praying. But too often, our devotion devolves. It devolves because we get distracted. We get distracted, and then sometimes we become neglectful. And we need to honestly acknowledge that, like those early disciples, we too are vulnerable. We're vulnerable to this spiritual slumber, especially if we're not careful. Our minds drift. We drift into Facebook reels for hours. Or maybe that's just me. And our zeal sometimes starts to fade. We become so tired, even though our willing spirits dwell within us. You know, life's mundane routines can dull our senses over time. The enemy actively conspires to drag us and our thoughts off of that wall and towards the darkness. Things like busyness, diversions, worries, anxiety, they're like sedatives that numb our spiritual clarity. And before we even realize, our heads start to nod off and our prayer life starts to ebb. I mean, imagine this. Imagine you've been just driving down the highway, just on autopilot. I mean, I'm sure lots of you can remember those times, right? Our eyes become heavy and we feel ourselves starting to nod off. What do? You roll down the window, right? You're like, maybe like slap yourself in the face a little bit. You stick your head out the window. You turn the radio on to get yourself awake. But that exhaustion is just overpowering. When all of a sudden, womp, 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 that rumble strip on the side of the road jolts us back into consciousness. We didn't even realize we drifted out of our lane. The bumps on those shoulders or in between those lanes had literally shaken us awake, preventing what could have been a tragic accident. You know, it's in that moment that we are reminded of Jesus' words to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. In this case, sleepiness. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, even when our spirit is willing, our flesh still grows weak. We all face times when we're tempted to let our guard down, when we're tempted to stop being vigilant and to succumb to this spiritual sleepiness just because I needed to get home, just because I wanted to feel more comfortable, just because I was feeling a little disconnected from my spouse, so I looked elsewhere. But you see, Jesus commands us to watch and pray, to be on guard, to actively resist temptation, and to remain spiritually alert. And just as those rumble strips, they shake us physically awake, we all need reminders to wake up spiritually, and to spur on to vigilance. You know, we can't overcome this downward pull in our own natural strength. You know, on that night in Gethsemane, the disciples, they no doubt intended to stay awake out of their love for Jesus, but relying on their own stamina, relying on their own strength, relying on their self alone, they failed. They failed. And similarly, our human solutions like resolutions, alarms, planners, although they may provide us with some security, they still prove inadequate enough to maintain our vigilance because we need help from above. We need to be connected above. You see, the challenges we face today are no less daunting. In fact, they may have evolved and intensified, demanding even greater commitment to spiritual vigilance. You know, our modern world, it presents with a barrage of temptations that can lull us into spiritual slumber if we're not watchful. And although technology has brought so much convenience and connectivity, it's also introduced these new avenues of distraction and moral compromise, this virtual realm of endless streams of information, of entertainment, of social interactions. It can consume our time and just divert our attention from what truly matters. And then we have the material successes The material successes that also come with pressures, the pressures of busyness from life and from work. And then we have this allure of instant gratification. And it starts to erode our spiritual focus. Because we all of a sudden think, oh, I have all this extra time on my hands because I do all of these other things so efficiently, leaving us comfortable, yet it leaves us spiritually drowsy and vulnerable. You know, the moral landscape of our culture, it's shifted. It's shifted promoting values that stand in stark contrast to the Word of God. And we have this normalization of unethical behaviors. We have all this blurring of moral boundaries and then a society that's dismissed faith. And because of this, it influences our perspectives. It influences our attitudes. Whether we choose to believe it or not, all of these things are coming in all over the place. And we have to be watchful because they're coming in at every single angle. I mean, take a look around you. Is the focus today not on the self? I mean, if you've ever heard the acronym WIFM or FOMO, the what's in it for me or the fear of missing out, it shows that we are focused inwardly. And the enemy of our souls, he's cunning. He exploits these shifts and he tries and he tries and he tries to infiltrate our hearts with these subtle lies and these compromises. So much so that we freely get into the boat. We freely get into the boat and we think, oh yeah, I did it. It's all right. It's not that bad. It's just a little bit. See, nothing happened. And the adversary, he's been doing it for years and years and years, and he's good at it. We often put our weapons down and justify what we're doing that it's the right way. It's just a little bit of this. Just a little bit of that. My eyes are just a little tired. It's just a little. Until bump, 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 bump. You're asleep right through the lane, right through the guardrail, and right into the wilderness. With all that damage and wreckage that you just caused. So just as the guards of the city must adapt their strategies and those changing tactics of the enemy, we too must adapt our own approach to the challenges of our time. You know, the practice of watchful prayer equips us to discern the deceitful whispers of the enemy who's amidst the noise of the world. It empowers us to stand firm in our convictions, to resist the pull of compromise, and to boldly proclaim the unchanging truth of God's word. You know, the digital age, while offering incredible opportunities, has also become a wilderness. It's a wilderness that's fraught with danger if you're not paying attention. That screen, you know, that one that we all have in our pocket, and you see people like this walking around. Me too, sometimes. It can dominate your life, shaping desires, priorities, and worldview. That constant connectivity that promises community, it often leads to isolation and just superficial relationships. You see, the barrage of images and of messages, they can desensitize us to sin and they can erode our moral sensitivity, numbing us to be asleep at the wheel. Because we start liking and loving everything without discerning the differences. This digital wilderness, it needs watchful prayer. Because this type of watchful prayer, it serves as our compass, guiding us through the maze of choices and influences, just as the ancient watchmen scanned the horizon, looking for approaching danger. We have to scan the virtual landscape with discerning eyes. Because as we engage in technology, we have to remain vigilant, guarding our hearts against those subtle enticements that can lead us astray so easily. Because when we allow those things to come in, even in the privacy of our own home, it starts to change our perspective on things. We start to make things okay that are not okay. And eventually, we start allowing it outside of our house too. And then everything just becomes okay. I mean, I want you to imagine for a second. Imagine navigating a treacherous mountain pass. carefully placing just each step and each handhold to avoid slipping. You know, similarly, being a watchful prayer warrior enables us to tread cautiously through this digital terrain, choosing our paths deliberately and intentionally. It empowers us to resist the allure of this mind-numbing scrolling, to discern the difference between what's healthy and what's not healthy, and to use technology as a tool and not let it become our master. You know, I think one of the most insidious effects of today is that illusion of connection. Because we are so connected in that digital world, that like button is like the illusion of being connected. And everybody just pushes the little heart or the little like or the little, you know, heart emoji. And while we may have hundreds of online friends or followers, genuine relationships can become increasingly rare. And you don't usually figure that out until you're really going through a struggle. You know, the practice of watchful prayer challenges us to examine the quality of our relationships and to prioritize authentic relationships over superficial ones. In a world where these virtual interactions can replace face-to-face conversations, I mean, just go out to any restaurant, any outing, and you'll see everybody's around the table like this. No one's even talking to each other. Unless you go to Thursday Night Trivia where they're not allowed to use phones. Then everyone talks to each other. It's amazing. You know, we must communicate openly, honestly, with one another to safeguard our hearts. And this requires something of us. It requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to be transparent. It requires us to be willing to invest time with each other. Time and effort into building and maintaining relationships. You see, when Jesus urged his followers to watch and pray, he was giving them a divine prescription, a two-part solution uniquely designed for their and our vulnerabilities. First, they needed to watch. First, they needed to be alert. They needed to remain attentive to the things of God. When physical tiredness threatened to distract them. But no. Just being alert isn't enough. Watchfulness alone will not suffice. They needed to actively pray against the temptation. In this case, sleep. Through watchful prayer, we engage this divine power and it energizes our hearts. Physical tiredness may cause our natural strength to falter, but the Spirit's strength remains boundless. You know, when we feel our own wakefulness waning, when we cry out for heavenly help, the Bible gives us assurance. It says, "He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Our vigilant God infuses us with his own alertness as we call upon him. He is the world's best cup of coffee. Nothing can replace that. You see, watchful prayer, it awakens our spiritual awareness. It peels back those surface layers of our heart, lighting up the areas that the enemy deceives us. Lighting up those areas that maybe he's crept in under the cover of darkness. You know, in 1 Peter 5:8, it warns us that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking victims to devour. But as we lift our hearts to God in prayer, the Spirit functions like this massive floodlight to expose hidden sin. God's word pierces through the facades and lays us bare to our true thoughts and the motives that lie beneath it. And this illuminating work, it clears the way as we continue on our journey. As unseen stains become visible, now God applies his cleansing power. Our minds are renewed and realigned with kingdom purposes. And what once seemed hazy or gray, or maybe you didn't even know existed, it comes under crisp, clear focus with heaven's bright light upon it. because the Spirit illuminates those footholds that are hidden away. And so watchful prayer is essential. It's a twofold purpose. It helps us to detect areas of darkness, and then it diffuses those areas with light. Just as a vigilant guard keeps cities secure is by noticing the threats and then reporting them up to higher authority. When we see those things happen in our lives, we need to go to God in prayer so that He can light the way for us. Because when our divine alertness is on high alert, we fortify our hearts and our minds. We instantly know when something's not right. And while Jesus' words in the garden provide this cornerstone, it's not the only place. There are so many verses that point to this foundation of a watching prayer. Take, for instance, in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Here Paul stresses the link between watchfulness and fervent prayer, because the two things, they have to go hand in hand. And as we nurture a vibrant prayer life, our spiritual senses, they become fine-tuned. Think of yourself like an archer that just is continually practicing, and he eventually gets right on, fine-tuned. I mean, what about in Luke 21:36? Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape the coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Here, Jesus ties prayer to the readiness for His return. Staying alert means looking ahead for Christ's coming, not just drifting through our days oblivious. Or how about in 1 Thessalonians 5:16? Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you to belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Here, this prayer is linked to our spiritual receptivity. And as we pray continually, we remain attuned to the Spirit's voice, and we avoid quenching Him or quenching His voice in our lives. These and so many other verses convey the same message. Prayer is a lifeline that sustains watchfulness through our ongoing connection with God. Our spiritual sensors, they have to stay on alert. Divine light has to flow continually through our hearts that are open to receive it. And so what can we do? How can we remain vigilant, knowing that all the things are coming in from every single angle? How do we do that? You know, in the service, we spend hours and hours and hours training. We use terms like train as you fight. Like, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in war. I mean, think about it like this. If you were to take your pulse right now, right here, if you were to take your pulse right now, you could find the divine rhythm of life. Blood is pulsating through your veins right now. You can feel it for yourself. It has this constant nature. So when does the heart rest? It rests between every single beat. And prayer is also meant to flow through our lives steadily, woven into everything that we do. Don't settle for that quick prayer out the door. Setting aside devoted time to pray at least once daily. Better yet, throughout your day, punctuate routine activities with spontaneous conversations with God. Before bed, talk about your day, all the things that happened in your day, confessing any sins and places that you missed the mark, and realign your heart with Him. Because that regularity reinforces our vigilance. And not just regularity in prayer, but regularity in reading the Word of God, because God's Word is our spiritual alarm clock. It's designed to rouse us to alertness. It will train our minds with the truth. And when the time comes, we'll be able to just detect any of that deceit that starts to come in and pour into our lives. We start to recognize sin that separates us from God, and we're reminded of the hope that purifies us when we saturate our lives in Scripture. And when we saturate our lives in Scripture, it keeps our defenses up. And speaking of defenses, thank God we have those rumble strips to alert us so we don't veer into other lanes. You know, again, I use a lot of military terms because it's something I'm very familiar with, but this is something that we really preach to heart. You never go outside the wire or confines of the base, especially in a hostile environment, without a battle buddy. We never go into a foreign port, even just to have fun, without somebody with us, something we call a liberty buddy. Someone to look out for you, because vigilance requires community reinforcement. And that's why Jesus gathered with his disciples around him that night, rather than praying alone. So we have to share with mature believers and ask them to regularly check in with us. Because if we must give an update to our trusted friends, it's more likely that we'll have healthy motivation to make sure that we're watching, make sure that we're praying, and making sure that we're remaining alert. Especially with today's modern temptations, that importance of accountability cannot be overstated. I mean, just as the disciples were called to keep watch together, we too are on a journey together in watchful prayer with one another. So I have to ask you, are you involved? And if not, get involved. Because every other Tuesday, the men all meet together, and there's a lot more than 14 people in the sanctuary today. If you're a lady, there's an awesome Bible study coming up, and there's multiple opportunities, even if you work during the day. There's one at night and online. Even the prayer meetings, most of them are online. Even on Saturday, it's online and here in the fireplace room. These are not merely just ways to pray or merely just ways to have a Bible study or to have a meal with men together. These are ways for us to maintain accountability with each other, to serve as spiritual companions, walking alongside us in this journey of faith. There we can lovingly ask the tough questions. We can challenge each other to stay true to our convictions. And we can also offer that helping hand when we do ultimately stumble. This is a culture that often celebrates individualism and self-reliance. But accountability reminds us that we are part of a larger body of believers, each of us called to watch out for one another. You know, and being a warrior, like you guys are, being watchful and praying, it equips you to navigate the complexities of a modern world. And it should compel you to share your story with your neighbors. Share your stories with your neighbors in a transformative way, just as that vigilant city influences a surrounding region. Our practice of watchful praying should extend beyond ourselves, beyond our connection groups, and it should be outside of these walls where we can share consistent testimonies like Aftershock. And it's something that's going to continue, like Andy said, every second and fourth Saturday because it's been so effective. Because we're reaching people. Because that's what he's commissioned us to do, to reach others. So in an age marked by this moral relativism and shifting values, the unwavering truth of God's word stands as a beacon of light in the darkness. And we are empowered to boldly engage our culture, to offer that light in the prevailing norms. And our vigilance enables us to speak the truth in a world that's mostly adrift. And so as I get ready to close, let's picture again that thriving city that's nestled securely within the walls. The heart of each believer is a smaller version of that city. A precious, precious sanctuary meant to be guarded against outside threats that are trying to plunder and destroy. You see, Jesus, he commands us to watch and pray, because he equips us to mount a vigilant defense of guard duty around our heart. Now I want you to imagine the gates of that walled city are standing open. And even as that stalwart watchman patrols the perimeter, maybe you're on the outside standing out there wondering, what do I do? Maybe you're out there scared or stranded or feeling alone or adrift, or you're not really sure what to do next. You know, this open gate, it represents the access that you have come freely into God's kingdom when you place your faith in Christ. Christ beckons all people to enter into his safety. You're never too far gone. All it takes is for you to make a decision to walk through that door, to move from darkness to light. You know, and I think Revelation 3:20 captures this just beautifully. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Jesus stands vigilantly at the doorway of every heart, interceding patiently for the souls to awaken and let him in. You know, and that door of salvation swings open to anyone who's ready to yield their life and fully surrender to Christ. You know, it's not just enough to know of the name of Christ. Even the adversary knows who Christ is. You have to fully surrender. And when we enter in through him, we join a city of watchful prayer warriors. And God immediately begins equipping us to guard our hearts in collaboration with him. He infuses spiritual authority and perception, transforming us from vulnerable to vigilant. So stand with me. May the enduring call of our Savior reverberate through our souls. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. May we not lean on our own understanding of things, but set a vigilant guard over our hearts in prayer. That by surrendering to his grace and spirit, we'll shine brightly for him in the midst of darkness until he calls us home or he returns. You know, the kingdom of God, it demands our diligence. It demands our diligence. So let's not fall asleep at the wheel, because he is worthy. And I think we should change up the last song and go back to the last one at the end of our first set, The Worthy. Because, Lord, you are worthy. Father God, you've commanded us to remain vigilant. And although the challenges of our modern age have evolved, you have remained the same throughout the ages. And as we're thrown against those rocks of ages, let your twofold prescription of watchfulness and prayer remain our anchor. May we recognize our need for you, that we cannot do it alone, that together we must watch and pray, that your call to watch and pray remains a call of unity, to remain ever connected to each other, Lord. Father, we link to you in prayer throughout our day and find our rest and our strength only in you. Lord, empower us. Empower us to navigate the wilderness with discernment, to cultivate authentic and lasting relationships, and to share your love and your light with those around us. Father, let us do so with unwavering resolve, by being diligent to you, Lord, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name. Deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
His name. You know, the prayer team is going to come up if you need prayer for anything. You know, maybe you haven't met Jesus yet, but he is worthy of our praise. You know, that thing that separates you from him is Jesus. All you need to do is accept him into your life and walk with him. Turn from your old ways. Walk towards God because you have Jesus. So this week, as you go forth as a warrior this week, as you're preparing yourselves for battle, remain vigilant. And maybe that thing is that you need to pray more. Maybe you need that communion with God through reading His Word. Maybe you're lacking a battle buddy. Or maybe you're not sharing or taking every opportunity to shine His light with those that are around you. Be a warrior this week. Be a warrior and remain vigilant for God. Plug in to the divine power that He is. And your life will never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lord, I dismiss us now in your great grace. If anybody needs prayer, I encourage you, come up and get prayer. If you're not really sure what to do next, what the next steps are, come up, talk to one of these guys. Now remember, there's an interest meeting here in about 10 minutes. So make sure you gather your kids and come back for the Christmas pageant interest meeting. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see you guys on Wednesday.